You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What do you have that is...
Just wait, because I'm going to have you pull it up in real time, all of you, all three of you. I do not mean to be rude. You know I have a good heart, Scott.
Is this on YouTube?
But there are certain things that should not be allowed in this town. Okay?
Is this on YouTube?
There are certain things that should not be allowed in this town. Let me give you an example.
Drugs.
We should not allow a Walmart on the plaza. We would universally agree that we should not allow that.
Why?
Because it's the plaza.
I'm going to say these days, it sounds like a pretty good idea. Anyway.
They have a couple open storefronts.
Do not open the store yet. Let me just read it.
Better than the Halloween store, right?
Yeah.
As massive Ward Parkway mansion emerges, so do neighbors' opinions by Eric Adler at the Kansas City Star. I need everyone to picture the stunning brick and or stone, the Pendergast home. Picture
exactly
all of the stunning homes on Ward Parkway. And then I'm going to give you each an opportunity to give me some adjectives describing the Ward Parkway homes just off the plaza. Go.
5500.
Yes.
Ward Parkway.
Stately.
Gorgeous.
Dan.
Ritzy.
Yes. Classical.
Not really a home, more of a manor.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, my God. The sign at the construction site.
Oh, it's bad.
Where over the last year, a 10,000 square foot mansion has been rising.
Oh, my.
Delivers a friendly message. Hi, neighbors, reads the sign. It is accompanied by a rendering of the rectangularly shaped home. We're excited to add another special home to this historic community. That's what the sign says.
Oh.
How's it historic
if
it's new?
Just wait. The home was the Block Mansion home. Remember, it was the Symphony Showcase show house home, and then they knocked it down.
Yeah.
The original Block stately brick mansion. They knocked it down a few years ago.
Okay.
For those of you who have seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
What are they doing?
That's a 10,000 square foot house.
Oh, yeah. It's looking like a mid-20th century modern style.
It looks
style.
Like
a
shipping container that in the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, they reversed the car out of.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. There's some architectural history involved in this design.
Dan, this is the ugliest house I've ever seen in my life.
It's going to look very odd along the stately drive of the really expensive mansions on Ward Parkway.
In all fairness.
No.
In all fairness, most of the homes in the Ward Parkway corridor and also on State Line in that same area, I would say probably from 52nd up to like 63rd,
mm-hmm.
all got the same reaction when they were built back in the 20s and 30s because they were new and edgy. The rich folk of the 20s and 30s.
They were also stone and they were colonial.
Yeah.
It was the people that were living in the mansions in the Northeast that looked at some of the architectural designs that were being brought in the neighborhood of Ward Parkway. And they were all, you know, pushing their nose up and saying, well, that's not elegant. Our homes are elegant.
Is the most ill placed conceived. Now, if you stuck this up on a cliff, like think in like
Briarcliff.
In Briarcliff, absolutely. Or in there are areas of Leawood where like every 35th house happens to be this style. I can't stand the style. What do you call it? It's just not my thing. Contemporary.
Yeah, it's a contemporary
modern. Like modern
type
contemporary design. Think
mm-hmm.
think rectangular shipping container.
So in Western Shawnee, we have all of our homes are different, but they all look similar.
They're different shades of taupe.
Except one.
Is there you have one modern?
We have one modern home in our neighborhood.
Listen to the rest of this story from Eric Adler at
and
the
I hate
Star.
It. I hate it.
If only the neighbors were as equally excited as the sign posted out front, which some are, he writes, but others are not. It's going to be a good 2 years from now, quoting here from the owner, who I will not name, because my goodness, what are you doing? in September.
It's an open design.
Construction on the parcel. It is a 1.5 acre lot on the east side of Ward. It's the blockhouse. It's literally the blockhouse.
No, it used to be the blockhouse.
Henry Block is rolling over.
You know what this looks like? What it reminds me of visually is some of the classic Frank Lloyd Wright designs. That mid-20th century, angular, contemporary, modern, that's what this looks like.
Lots of glass.
Neighbors in and around the Meyer Circle area of Ward Parkway, a mansion-lined boulevard that has historically been one of the most affluent areas of the city, had little sense of the scale of the mansion to come until now.
Well.
The home superstructure has just emerged, and so have neighbors' opinions. Couple are enthusiastic. No doubt about it. It looks
like falling water, Frank Lloyd Wright.
It's going to have a pool.
Most famous design.
A pool house, 5 bedrooms, and an elevator. And one of the neighbors says, I think it's cool.
So that brick wall, that stone wall, is not actually the front of the house. That's just shading them from Ward Parkway. They don't want to see Ward Parkway from their living room.
Others, however, are not thrilled at what they are seeing, saying the modern design is ill-fitted to a neighborhood that for 100 years has featured grand homes and mansions built in neoclassical, colonial, Georgian, English Tudor, or French styles.
Looks like it's an old money, new money fight.
No, Georgia, I don't like the new home going up next door.
It's going to be interesting.
That argument's out of my pay grade.
Yeah.
Keep driving by it.
It is estimated to be $7.5 million.
$7.5 million?
And I think the lot was two. They decided a few years ago, and it broke my heart, that the lot was more valuable without the Block mansion on it. And I've been in that mansion because it was the designer show house. How old's B? 20 years ago, that mansion was the designer show house, 21 years ago. And I toured it. Absolutely stunning. Did it need upgrades? Oh, the phones are ringing. And I'm so sorry if you own that house. I'm not trying to be mean, but you got to pick that up and put that somewhere else.
That block house was from 1926,
English beautiful.
Georgian manor.
It was a brick manor.
Of course it
pools
was.
Pools and gardens and...
That lot's been empty for as long as I can remember. When did they tear it down?
They knocked that down it was in the 2000s.
Well, I don't remember.
It was sold in 2007.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
You know, they interviewed a lot of neighbors in their 70s who have the traditional.
One of them has the nose of a Concorde jet in the backyard.
Oh, I love that house.
Backyard. I think that's the front yard.
It is the front yard, and it's very cool. Listen to one quote from a neighbor. I think it's huge. It is gorgeous.
It is huge.
And it is lovely. And it would fit in really well somewhere out south in Johnson County. This does not fit the neighborhood.
NIMBY.
Out south in Johnson County? What is that supposed to mean?
I told you in Leawood, about every 35th or 40th house has one contemporary. One. And it looks out of place even every 35 houses. It
always
does.
There are a number of houses that are designed looking like this contemporary modern style over on the west side.
I want to remind you what the Block Mansion looked like, Scott, because you forget it hasn't been there in a long time.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got that kind of plantation home look.
Isn't there like a Ward Parkway homeowners
association?
Maybe some sort of like, you know, rule booklet.
Apparently not.
Not after you tear the house down. The homes are historic homes.
We could go with this, or we could not do that.
Well, the house or the manor that was there previously
had
fallen into disrepair.
It had
deteriorated.
It was.
Without shingles, gutter damage, weeds.
I think I'd rather look at the weeds. I'm going to be honest.
Well, just go over here to the Mission Gateway then.
It's a unique... home. It's unique.
You know who looks good in that house? Tony Stark.
Yeah, he does. I was thinking the same thing.
Ooh. It's a Tony Stark house.
Who the hell
See,
is Tony Stark?
All of a sudden,
Stark?
It's cool.
What?
Iron Man.
Oh, of course.
Listen to one neighbor. It's really huge. I would rather it were smaller and I saw less house.
913-5-
That's one of the quotes.
Would love to hear from the neighbors or somebody else who has a modern home in their more traditional neighborhood.
Oof.
And oof. We have one, there have to be several thousand homes in my subdivision. It's huge. And there is one house that sticks out like a thumb. It's hideous.
The more I look at it, the worse it gets. I'm sorry. And you know what? That house would look so good in Phoenix, right? It's, parts of California. Palm Desert.
Oh, California.
Palm Desert. Yes.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. So you have an older home. By that, yes. It's over 100 years old.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well over.
Nice, but old. What would you do if somebody put in a modern home next to you?
If someone vomited Tony Stark's house next mm-hmm. to our house, mm-hmm. I'd build a bigger wall. Paging Geyer fence.
Well, you also had somebody put in a pickleball court next door.
I mean, if you have $7 million, you can do whatever you want. There's no homeowners association. I just think it is.
Is there not?
It is so. I'm at a loss for words of how, I don't want to say inappropriate. What is the word I'm looking for?
I think the word is disrespectful.
In that neighborhood, it's an eyesore. Yeah.
The one that kills me, and believe it or not, having grown up south of the plaza and driving down the Ward Parkway corridor literally every day of my life, I'm not really offended by those designs, but I think a lot of those houses are gaudy to begin with. But the one that offends me is Lake Quivira. All those beautiful small homes.
Don't say it.
You just started a fight.
Don't say it.
You know which one I'm about to talk
about?
No,
I'm not going
to
discuss it. I'm not going to discuss it.
The four-story behemoth right on the corner of the lake. It looks like a hotel.
I do not have a comment about that.
There's a waterfall with two torches on either side that the flames go like 15 feet in the air in the middle of the night.
Why would you have no comment?
Just don't have any comment about that.
Because they might be sitting next to you for drinks tonight.
I don't have any comment about it. I think every neighborhood
blows my mind.
Every neighborhood has one house that, and let me give you another example that maybe is not in my backyard. We lived, as you know, many years out south. There was one home, painted the most god-awful shade of pink you've ever seen in your life. And it was one of
little
those
pink houses for you and
no,
me.
No, no, no. Three stories. And when I say it was pink, Pepto-Bismol.
So fluorescent.
Pink. And somebody allowed it. Anytime you see something like that, somebody, like, there's HOAs, there's boards. Somebody had to say, yup, that looks good to me.
I used to be opposed to HOAs until I lived in one.
I know it.
Honest to God. I thought, how dare you? How dare you tell me what color I can paint my house or what I'm allowed to have in my yard?
Oh, sure.
Or how tall I'm allowed
to
grow
my grass.
And if you
had $7 million, you would be like, okay, why don't you look at this middle finger and then this middle finger? Yeah. We're going to do whatever we want. I just think on that historic stretch, why do you want to stand out so?
Because somebody was not hugged enough as a child.
So completely. And I don't know. I just think I would not be comfortable doing that on that corridor. You can build that house, but build it on the hill over by Quivira. You know, build it somewhere where it's not. Yeah,
build it up on the hill on Briar Cliff.
That's actually the best spot for it. When you said Briar Cliff, I was like, absolutely.
Then it really would look like Tony Stark's mansion.
Jutting out the hill up there, it would look like Tony Stark's mansion. They have every right to do what they want. It's their money. But I would feel very like I need to apologize. Then it, like, I'm sorry we're doing this. I would actually feel like I needed to apologize.
You feel guilty.
Yes, that's the word. I would feel guilty.
You know, the crazy thing is they can't
hear you. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
They can't hear your complaints behind that rock wall.
They are using Missouri limestone, I read.
Well, thank God for that.
He did say, we're going to incorporate local
building products.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
I'll tell you this. Don't ever go to church on Sunday.
Not at
the Presbyterian church over there
on
Ward Parkway. Don't go to church.
Yeah.
You will never be invited to any cocktail parties.
There will be no potluck.
No. No. I would just...
Is the 55th and Ward Parkway mansion the Pendergast house?
I don't know if that's what it is or not. I do know that on the rare occasions I'm on Ward Parkway, that is a house that I go out of my way to look at.
Oh, I do too.
And I always drive down 55th Street so I can see like the guest house out back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the guest house is its own house.
We have someone close to our family who had the home, I don't want to say passed down to her, but I think it was her parents' home. So she grew up in the house and now owns the home. And one day, one of my children, I pulled up Life 360 and it said they were sort of in the neighborhood of 55th and Ward Parkway.
It's a beautiful house.
And why would anyone, when I saw that, I zoomed in and I immediately, like in the group chat, I go, who's at 55th and Ward Parkway? And since then, I've been in the home many times.
You've been in it?
It's right there. It's not that exact one, but it's right over there. And what I will tell you about those houses, as stunning as you think it is on the outside, the architecture on the inside made me cry. The lighting, Scott, you know me indoors.
No.
The doors, the crown molding, those are historic homes. You cannot recreate that now, right? With all the money in the world, you can't have that old, old historic wood. There's a library. There's all of those little glass patios off of those homes.
Yeah.
It is one of the most stunning homes I have ever been in.
I remember years and years ago, this would have been, oh God, you and I had just started doing the show, and I was invited to a, I won't say for whom, but a political fundraiser at a gorgeous mansion in Mission Hills. And I know exactly what you're talking about. And I walk in, you know, I drive over to Mission Hills.
Try to act like you've been here before.
And I am literally a fish out of water, right?
You're wearing that sweatshirt.
Probably. But anyway, this gal that I was briefly seeing invited me to go over there and with her. And I did. And, you know, we're glad handing and all this other stuff. And finally, I have to go to the restroom. And I go into the restroom. This is a mansion. It is gorgeous on the outside.
Yeah.
I go into the bathroom and the toilet lid, okay, was clear plastic.
Okay.
And inside of the plastic, as I go to lift the lid, were fake fish. I kid you not, like starfish and angelfish. And I mean, literally something right out of 1967. And I'm like, oh my God, you have a house that's worth millions.
Yeah.
And you have a toilet lid.
Yeah, from 1969.
That has fake fish in it.
Yeah, love it.
By the way, the Pendergast House is 5650 Ward Parkway. And if you didn't feel poor before this conversation, I definitely feel poor now.
Well, one of them, Sam, went up for sale.
I thought it was 5,500.
What was it? 7 or 8 years ago.
5,500 is sold twice.
The one next door to that one went up for sale. And they had you could take the, you know, online e-tour. So the one house toward the plaza from the 55th mansion. Does that make sense?
So one south.
One house north of that mansion went up for sale, you guys. And you could look at the listing.
Huh.
It made me weep, and I swear to you, it was $25 million.
Oh my God!
And this was
what is the value of the 5,500 Ward Parkway house?
I don't think you could put a price on it.
The 5650 Pendergast house is $3.4 million right now.
I'll take two.
913-586-7798 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, story here from NBC News. A class action lawsuit has been filed against the Walt Disney Company over Disneyland's use of facial recognition technology at park entrances. The suit, which was filed on Friday of last week on behalf of lead plaintiff Summer Duffield, alleges that the company does not adequately disclose its use of the technology and is not transparent.
It's private property. Why do they have to disclose that?
Bingo. About how the collected data will be used.
Every time you walk into the breezeway of a Target or a grocery store, there is a camera pointed at you. Do they have to disclose what they do with that surveillance as you're walking in?
I think they don't have to, no. What they do, and yes, I said do-do.
Do-do.
Is they'll let you know camera in use. And I think they do that in large part to discourage ne'er-do-wells from even bothering to come in.
And you don't think when you walk into Disney as any person with zero education about any of these matters, you don't think that you're being filmed?
Of course you
at are. Disney, you're probably being filmed every 16 inches, right? There's cameras everywhere there.
Well, I mean, cities use facial recognition, i.e. Boston Bombers.
And thank God for it.
Amen.
In that case.
Amen. I don't know if that was facial recognition or if it was just
surveillance. Here they are. Who are they?
Surveillance cameras. But I just assume when I'm out in public on a public street or sidewalk, or if I'm on private property, I just assume that I'm being
filmed.
Okay,
but let me ask you this. With respect to facial recognition, you know how from time to time, Fountain Girl, someone will say, you are now banned from coming into this facility. Or if you accosted one of our players or spewed hate language, you are banned. And we will say, how does the NFL know that Jim Bob from wherever can no longer go to a game? Does facial recognition at Disney or anywhere else, do they have it so that if you have been banned, it'll pop right up that you are a person that's not supposed to be on their property?
If it doesn't, then what would be the point?
What's the point? Right?
Yeah, like, we've banned you.
Yeah.
Here's your picture.
Because if the woman who filed this lawsuit wasn't banned before, she's going to be banned now.
We're putting you in the database. And if you ever come back here again, it's going to immediately identify you. We're going to know you're here.
Anyone who has committed theft on that property. Think about it. What better way to tell people we're not going to put up with thievery? You might walk out of here with a t-shirt under your shirt, but we know what you look like. And you're never coming back. They have every right to do that, don't they?
By the way, the lawsuit is seeking $5 million.
For what? You can facial recognition me all day long for $5 million.
Okay, here we go. From the lawsuit, this is the lead attorney in the lawsuit, Blake Yagman, who writes in the lawsuit, when American families and their children visit a theme park, let alone a brand like Disney, they shouldn't sacrifice their privacy rights when they enter. And as facial recognition becomes more common and it proliferates in public places especially, it is more important than ever that we protect people's privacy rights.
Because
there are civil rights implications and privacy implications to collecting someone's biometric information.
There are civil rights implications if law enforcement only uses facial rec, especially with people of color, to identify a suspect. There are definitely civil rights implications there. With respect to the privacy rights at Disney, do you know the only place at Disney where you have a privacy right?
The bathroom?
The stall. The stall of the bathroom. You don't think you're being filmed coming in and out?
Is Disney public property?
No.
No!
You don't agree to the terms and conditions, don't enter the private property.
I guarantee you that there is something on your ticket, either when you buy it and maybe you have it on your the ticket on your phone or whatever. I don't know how it works anymore, thank God. That is 4 days of my life I'll never get back.
I know. Think about with facial recognition, think about serial smash and grabbers or serial shoplifters. Overland Park. Think about the serial shoplifter who constantly is going in to Target, or the peeping under the stall, peeping Tom. Mm-hmm. To me, the facial recognition, that is where that is the most powerful to protect the public. If you are a private business and you have someone like around, I don't know, 95th and Quivira that keeps hitting up all of those
stores right outside of Oak Park,
for gigantic theft rings. Mm-hmm. What better way to employ facial recognition so the minute that person walks in the store, bam, you know it's her.
Yeah.
Sorry, but it's usually her.
Well, fair point. I mean, where do your privacy rights even begin when we're talking, other than the restroom?
Restroom and dressing room.
Fair point. When we're talking about a private business, I remember years ago during my drinking days, there used to be a liquor store over here on Johnson Drive. And I always wondered, how is that even legal? And until I realized this is a private business. They can do whatever they want. And they had cameras in this liquor store, okay? And if you shoplifted from their store, they would put a picture of you on the wall. It was called the Wall of Shame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I would just remember, you know, going to check out and buy whatever it was that I was buying and looking at all these people's pictures, and they were crystal clear photographs of who these people were. They're alleging that you stole from them, but they've not been convicted.
Yeah.
But do they not have that right to put your picture up on the wall? They suspect. They believe. Prove them wrong.
And we operate a number of laws under what would the reasonable person expect or assume, right?
Yeah.
Would the reasonable person walk into Disney and think to themselves, man, I've got my privacy intact?
Nobody.
Not a single person.
No.
Alice in North Kansas City. Alice, hello.
Hi. I'm not sure that biometrics and facial recognition are exactly the same thing. I think biometrics can go a lot further than facial recognition.
Say it again?
Like fingerprints and other things like that.
When I hear the term biometrics, I'm thinking your blood, your saliva,
fingerprints,
yeah.
If someone said to you, in order for you to come into this business, we need your thumbprint right here, would you do it?
Have I done anything wrong?
No.
Yeah.
Sam?
Amazon Grocers, no, I would not.
It's your thumbprint through Amazon Grocery, correct?
It's actually your entire hand.
That you agree,
yep.
I'm going to put my hand down, yep. And you're going to know that that's my hand. That's biometrics, and of course they're keeping that data.
Well, years ago, with the old company kitchen that we had here at work, just to even get into the system, you literally linked your credit card with your thumbprint.
And I never agreed to do that.
I didn't either.
But do you know where else we use facial recognition every single day and we're not even thinking about it because we become so used to it? I just did it today. I tried to open my recently deleted photographs and it said, show me your face. For certain apps to open on my phone, it wants facial rec.
Fingerprint too.
And you know what I will never do? And you shouldn't either, because I had friends who were violent crime victims in this way. Never, ever, ever link up your bank account to facial recognition on your phone. And here's why.
I don't even have my bank account on my phone.
If you are assaulted, and this happened to someone very close to me, they open the bank app.
Yep.
They put the phone up to your passed out face. And now they have access to all of your banking.
But with the iPhone 5.
And they transferred all the money out, Sam.
This was detailed in the French Quarter lady.
They transferred all the money out.
That's right. Manzano, yeah.
But watch this. With the iPhone 8, I have to use my thumbprint to get into my phone.
Do you really?
Right there.
Well, see, but you don't keep your banking on your phone. So
no,
I wouldn't
I
be
not.
As worried for you. But like I am telling you, with the facial stuff, I will never, ever, ever put my banking with that.
I do wonder, similar to the whole tax argument, if you had to hand over cash every 2 weeks at the end of your, you know, you get paid in cash,
yeah.
You have to hand over your taxes in cash, there would
revolution.
Be a revolution,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Do you think that if we reminded everybody every time they were being surveilled throughout the day, would there be a similar revolution? Like you
That's
walk
a great
into
question.
A, you walk into a Quick Trip. And
they're being filmed.
Yeah, a little loud voice comes over the speaker. There's a camera to your left. There's a camera above you. There's
okay,
a camera to your
Sam,
right.
Wait, the nail salon place right here on Johnson Drive. Right when you leave the station on Johnson Drive by the turd eyesore place. It's across the street.
There are several turd eyesore places.
Mission Gateway. I park my car a couple nights ago, get out, and it was jarring. Warning, you are being recorded. And it was a lovely woman's voice, by the way. Warning, you are being recorded. And I jumped because it sounded like I was like, what? And now I'm used to it. I've been back a couple times. Warning, you are being recorded. Did I stop and go, how dare they? I'm not going to get my nails done anymore.
Dana, here in the next break, go to the restroom and try to avoid being recorded.
No, there's cameras everywhere in here.
Exactly.
But it's different when the voice says to you, warning, it's kind of like when you go to one of the big box stores and you go to check out and it goes, we're recording you. It agitates you, doesn't it?
You know where else we have that? Go throw away something here at the big Dipsy dumpster here at the office.
You are being recorded.
It's exactly what it says.
I always wave. Ken Wolf's going to get you.
I wave at the engineers every time. I'm like, it's me.
It's Ken Wolf.
It's
me. I'm just like, hey, Ken, how are you? Just throwing away some stuff here that I don't need anymore. Thanks. 913-586-7798. We're talking about this class action lawsuit. It's from NBC News, where a woman by the name of Summer Duffield is suing Disneyland because apparently they use facial recognition technology. Who knew? Who would have ever suspected that? By the way, they delete your information after 30 days.
Okay. That seems fair to me. You know why? You go in and steal $9,000 worth of merch.
Mm-hmm.
Police come back, say we've identified a suspect. Let us go through. You got to give them 30 days, right? You say to me they're going to keep that stuff a year or 5 years. I think most people would be uncomfortable with that. 30 days?
By the way, the lawsuit points out, according to the Los Angeles Times, that the park has small signs at checkpoints notifying guests of the facial recognition policy. But the sign apparently is adorned with red, green, yellow, and blue Mickey Mouse silhouettes and is easy to miss.
Okay. The big question would be, what do they do with it before that 30-day mark? Because any institution the size of Disney will have to delete that video footage very frequently.
Right.
Just because
storage
space to maintain that would be insanely expensive.
Yeah.
Do they do something? Do they sell it? What do they do?
Anna in Liberty. Anna, good afternoon. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to clarify how the park tickets work for Disney. So you buy the ticket. It's on an app. And you have to scan the barcode when you go into the gates. And you put a fingerprint. And then they take a picture of you. And I think the major reason they do that is so that you can't give your ticket to somebody else.
Anna, wait. I see what you're saying. The facial recognition is to make sure your ticket belongs to your face.
Right. So if I bought a 5-day ticket, then I can't use 2 days and give you 2 days.
Oh.
Like on your way out of the park, you can't say to someone, like, I don't know, people might have never done it, the Masters, hey, we're leaving. Would you like one of these passes? And if you want to kick me $500 for it, I wouldn't say no.
No, you can't do that because it's tied to your name. And you, when you scan that barcode on the very first day of your trip, you put your fingerprint, I think it's your first finger, and then they take a picture of you. And so every time you enter a park during that valid ticket period, you will do the same thing.
Why would you buy a 5-day pass? Do you hate yourself?
Scott, I actually used to work for Disney, and so I love you to pieces, but I have to disagree with you, say you don't like Disney. Sorry.
Okay.
Anna, you have been heard. We will not challenge that grievance.
Did you sign an NDA or something?
Hey, when we get back,
what's coming up?
Kansas City loves to catch a porch thief in the act. We see it all the time on Ring Doorbell, right?
Yep.
Speaking of surveillance.
Porch pirates.
One of them has just been sentenced for stealing $10 in jewelry. We'll tell you how long when we get back.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.